This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah.
I'm getting used to saying that.
Yeah.
I really am. Before we start this today, I need to mention a couple of things coming up. One, getting fairly immediate now, that is our golf outing on Tuesday, May 22nd at the Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. Great day, a lot of fun. And boy, we had a lot of people there last year. We're planning on a sellout this year too, but we need some more golfers right now. If you can, if you have a foursome that you like to golf with, bring everybody along. If you're a single golfer that'd like to make some new friends, hey, you're welcome too. That is Tuesday, May 22nd at Plum Creek Golf Club. Give us a call here at the station and we can get you signed up for that if you'd like. The number is 317-870-8400. And while we are mentioning things, we have got a really big event coming up, our annual dinner. It's always a big event. This year, even bigger than usual because the guest speaker is going to be Archbishop Charles Thompson. If you've not met him and had a chance to talk with him personally, here's a great chance to do that. And one thing about the Catholic Radio Dinner, we say it's a big event, and it is, but it's not a huge event. And so we have maybe 250, 300 people someplace around that, but the Archbishop will be out mingling among the people before and after, so you can actually talk to him. You know, it's not like a huge auditorium where you're looking at a 100 yards away at somebody. No, he'll be available to talk with you and
mingle and
it's a great event. That's coming up October 2nd. Long way off yet, but October 2nd. Mark your calendar and around your parish, see if you can't get together a table. Tables are
that'd
for
be great.
Eight people, and it would be so neat if every table, if every parish in the archdiocese could get together a table.
That's a great idea.
Bring your pastor for two reasons. First of all, we love to have pastors. Second of all, pastors are free.
Oh, that's a bonus.
we no charge for vowed religious at our dinner. So a table of eight is going to be, I believe, around $450, someplace around there. But if you bring your pastor, of course, that'll get you one seat free. So October 2nd, love to have every parish bring a table or more, a couple tables if you can. October 2nd, we'll be telling you lots more about it here on Catholic Radio.
And I actually think our guest today has been to one of the dinners. Is that right?
Yes, I have.
And our guest today is Dr. Eric Goudin. He is in private. I said it right. He's in
close.
Goudin.
Goudin. Oh,
that's right. Thanks, Bridget.
Darn it. We might have to do that over again. Actually, Dr. Eric Goudin is our resident in private practice, right? You are of Integritas Psychological Services.
Yes.
But you're not a real, you're a, explain what you are.
Okay.
Because people always get that mixed up with a doctor or a PhD or a medical doctor.
I am a doctor of psychology. I'm a psychologist. And so I do have a doctorate, but I'm not a physician.
Okay.
Psychiatrists are physicians, MDs, who have a specialization in mental health. And so they can prescribe medication.
Okay.
They serve an important role, but I am a psychologist, and the distinguishing factor of a psychologist is assessment and therapy. So I can do therapy and assessment. I think I'm pretty good at it.
Okay, and how long have you been doing that?
About 10 years. I've had a practice here on the south side for about 6 or 7 years, and just last month I moved to the east side.
Okay, so where are you located now?
910 North Shadeland, Suite 1.
And what kind of practice do you do? I mean, what kinds of things do you treat?
Depression, anxiety. I work quite a bit with compulsive sexuality difficulties, like some communication issues between couples. I generally work with older teens to adults, and can consult regarding younger teens. But I wouldn't call myself a child psychologist.
Okay, so tell us, Integritas Psychological Services, is Integritas what, Latin?
Integritas is Latin. It means wholeness. I just thought that was a good term and phrase for a psychological practice, about bringing health and because the joy of God is man fully alive. St. Irenaeus said that. And I just think that's what we're trying to do. Another person described psychology as our work is similar to John the Baptist. We're making way making straight the way of the Lord, preparing for grace. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, grace builds on nature. So I'm trying to get things in order for the moral life, for the spiritual life.
And you are Catholic yourself.
Yes.
And you kind of approach things not just from a secular perspective, but you...
Well, because I'm Catholic, that informs my view of the human person. Part of my informed consent is I say that I'm Catholic, and that changes the way I see the person.
Mm-hmm.
With your anthropological principles of what you view to be good changes how you view someone and how you interact with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I am a psychologist, and I practice the science, the art mm-hmm. of psychology, psychotherapy. But I think it makes a difference in how you see the person and the person of the therapist and psychologist.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So tell us a little bit about your background. Were you always Catholic, and how did you happen to get into this field?
I was cradle Catholic.
Grew up in Indy? Or?
No, I grew up all over the Southeast United States. I was born outside Chicago and lived in several different places. Just dad moved around for reasons. We were homeschooled. And I got into psychology because I always had a philosophical bent to me,
uh-huh.
but I thought that was a bit too ivory tower. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need to be with the people, but also study lots of things. So psychology seemed to meld with me the idea of thinking clearly and relating to someone one-on-one to help them. And so that's why I got into psychology and I ended up in Indy, and Indy's been very good to me.
So the topic that we're going to talk about today is healing through forgiveness. And if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Dr. Eric Goudon, and I practiced that, and I'm getting better at it. Goudon, oh my gosh, I'm getting better. And we're going to talk about healing through forgiveness. Something that, you know, you just watch the news, you read the media, you see all these problems in our society, like with the opioid addiction, with the school shootings, with, you know, even suicide. The question I have kind of related to this topic is, how has there been a big change in our society? Are there more wounded people now than there were like in the 1950s? Or are we just more aware of the wounds from your perspective?
From my perspective, I do believe that there's a greater fragmentation in society. There's a breakdown in roles, structures. There's less support. There was a time when there was a stronger sense of community, stronger sense of family, stronger sense of belonging. Now, in the United States, we have a lot of flexibility. There's different places you can go. We can move around. I said I moved around several times growing up. And that allows for greater opportunity, but can be difficult, and it requires a significant amount of flexibility mm-hmm. in order to manage these changes. And the less support there is, the more flexibility it requires, and so that can cause a lot of hurt and harm. I think we are more sensitive now to mental health in the sense that, well, my field is, there's a lot more therapists now,
mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of lack of attunement to relationship, and that's, I think, where I wanted to go talking about healing through forgiveness mm-hmm. is just basic relationship. We are made to be in relationship, an understanding of Trinitarian life. So God is Trinity. God is a community,
mm-hmm.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we are called to participate in this community. So life's all about relationship. We practice here on earth in order to love, to be in relationship, but that's hard to do because here on earth there's lots of people we disagree with, and they mm-hmm. make bad choices and they hurt us.
Sure.
And so it requires forgiveness for us to maintain relationship in order to how to relate to someone else to practice for heaven. And so that's why I see forgiveness through is a part of healing. But I think I got away from your question. We always have to deal with pain.
That's okay.
With pain in our lives, pain mm-hmm. in society. There is a lot of pain in society, a lot of things going on. And is there more need for forgiveness now than there was a while ago? I think there's always pain that we have to deal with, and because it's each individual human life and our experiences and how we experience it for us to love the other, us to love the various transgressors we have.
So what is the connection then with healing and forgiveness? How are the two connected?
We could take that angle of a mind-body connection of the level of stress that you carry in your body because you are just hanging on to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, being angry at someone who's hurt you is like yourself taking poison, expecting the other person to keel over.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anger is a weight, can be a weight that you're focusing on, and your body does not distinguish well between physical danger and psychological danger.
Okay.
So if you're mad, if you're scared, if you're angry, your body's getting ready to defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that requires resources on you. And so the higher levels of cortisol and lower levels of dopamine, and your attention is focused on a perceived problem, on an anger, rather than good things you could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so anger is sapping your resources. Unforgiveness is sapping your resources, taking away your energy of things that can be done for the good, building relationship. Instead, you're focused on all the harm that's been caused you. It's more inward focused.
So what is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness?
Well,
because I think people get those things mixed up. And I had the benefit of hearing you speak at Our Lady of Mount Carmel several months ago about this topic. And I thought it was really interesting that you shared what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not, and kind of make that distinction.
I was laughing to myself. I was thinking of how detailed of a, should I give a graduate school description and all the different phrases on it? Okay.
Give me the kindergarten.
So forgiveness is recognizing a harm's been done and letting go of the anger you have about that toward the person who hurts you. So forgiveness isn't amnesia. You haven't forgotten that the harm's occurred. It's not condoning saying that that harm was okay or excusable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it helps to understand why the person's hurt you, but it's not saying the person's okay for having done this. We're not having you deny reality, but to let go of, take active steps to push the anger away, to let it go, replace it with benevolence, replace it with an attitude of kindness and compassion toward the other. At the very least, because the person who has harmed you has the capacity to make better choices.
Mm-hmm.
I want this person to get better so that they can love, so they can get to heaven too. And they've done harm? Well, I've done harm too.
Sure.
And I want better for them. I want them to stop hurting other people like they hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's not... Forgiveness isn't many things. It's not leniency. It's not justifying the other person's actions. It's not forgetting. It's
acknowledging. Forgiveness is acknowledging that someone did something wrong to you,
mm-hmm.
but it's not condoning what they did,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because it is wrong. If there's no harm, I mean, they say no blood, no foul. If there's no harm, there's nothing to forgive. You have to understand the situation better. But if there's no, but you need to sometimes. Especially with a more religious, pious audience and individuals, it is difficult for us to give room to the hurt. Like we try to move too quickly toward not feeling the pain, toward not feeling the anger. And
mm-hmm.
so instead of examining the harm that has been done, recognizing the harm, we just suppress it, push it away. It's like, no, it didn't hurt me.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Dr. Eric Goudin. I got it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the four stages of forgiveness. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America has been rating movies based on violence, language, sexual content, etc. But what if their judgment as to what's appropriate for your family is different from yours? Wouldn't it be nice to get a second opinion? Maybe one from a Catholic perspective. Catholic News Service and the former Office of Film and Broadcasting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have teamed up to continue the tradition of giving every movie a rating, one that you might find much more appropriate for your family. Where can you find these ratings? The easiest place is right on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Right on the opening page, just look for the yellow Movie Ratings tab. When the kids ask, "Hey, can we go to the movies?" or you just want to go yourself, Check out the Catholic movie ratings at CatholicRadioIndy.org. It never hurts to get a second opinion.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with my guest, Dr. Eric Goudin, and we are talking about healing through forgiveness. So we just talked about what healing, what forgiveness is and what it's not. Let's talk about the 4 stages of forgiveness, because obviously when someone does something wrong to you, sometimes you don't feel like you want to forgive. And I know that's somewhere in one of those stages, but what's the first stage of forgiveness?
First stage of forgiveness is uncovering. It is recognizing that a harm has been done. We identify the injustice. We identify the pain, how you've been hurt, the unfairness. And so uncovering is awareness. It is true how much we try to avoid pain, how much we try to avoid discomfort. And so sometimes we try to short-circuit the forgiveness process by jumping the gun directly into decision phase, jumping the gun directly into working and deepening and making sure we're done with forgiveness. But first you have to look at the harm that was done, to confront it and to look at it so you know what you're forgiving, so you uncover the emotions that are there.
Okay, and then what do you do next?
Next phase
stage
is
two.
Stage two is decision. So once you know that you've been hurt, the hurt you've identified, you choose to forgive it. That's an action of the will. You present to yourself, this is a good thing for me to do. I'm tired of hanging on to this. I want to forgive it.
Even if you don't feel like it.
No, because that's the next phase. Work is working with the emotions to remove the negative emotion, remove the anger, and replace those benevolence toward the malefactor. But the decision is also going to be a process, because sometimes I'm more decided, sometimes I'm less decided. We operate with different motivations. But so after you uncover the harm, you make the decision to forgive, and you work to forgive. That you're trying to gain an understanding of the person who's hurt you, and to view that person in a new light. So you're trying to repair that relationship in so much as you can, mm-hmm. on your side, and let go of that burden of anger that you're hanging on to. Mm-hmm. The last phase is a deepening phase, kind of a maintenance phase of continuing to find meaning in the suffering which has been caused, and to prepare for the next time we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, depending on the length of time that it takes to get through the 4 stages of forgiveness, is obviously going to depend on the person, mm-hmm. and what the wrong was. I mean, there's a big difference between someone took my parking space to someone, you know, murdered my child or something, mm-hmm. like that. You know, is there like
a timeline?
Average? Yeah. Is there like a timeline?
I cannot give a specific timeline.
Because, you know, we're very time sensitive. You know, I want to just get this on my list and check it off and be done.
Make sure it's done. And there's the 4 phases of forgiveness. I'm borrowing from a Robert Enright, he and Rick Fitzgibbons came up with these 4 steps. But the time frame we have, I mean, they have like a 12 session course that they'll work with people, and they've had some work to do that. But it depends on how long the uncovering phase occurs. There's work you can do on your own to work through this, to pray for the offender. But I think the biggest mistake people make in preparing to forgive, trying to get the time, is to rush it, as you're saying. Look for the time frame that it's done. Allow yourself to be where you are, as a general principle, and first start with looking at the harm that's done and how to look at it in a different light and to decide to forgive.
Now, is it necessary to restore a relationship to have forgiveness complete? I'm thinking maybe a next-door neighbor or a relative does something to offend you. You forgive them, and you just never talk to them again.
that's a type of forgiveness.
And are there circumstances where you, playing off of that, what Jim said, are there relationships that maybe you shouldn't repair? I know that sounds kind of...
Well, it's there's a difference between... Or
cannot be repaired. Maybe not cannot be repaired, but maybe you can't trust that person.
You can forgive someone, mm-hmm. but you shouldn't always reconcile.
Okay, explain that.
Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. You can always forgive someone. It's easier if they're contrite, mm-hmm. But you shouldn't reconcile with someone unless there's a position of safety and security in order to return to a state of vulnerability. God always wants to reconcile with us
because
he's strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
but with some individuals, you shouldn't reconcile until there is reasonable safety in the relationship to be vulnerable. And so you asked about the timeline of forgiveness. One of the more frequent ones that comes to mind for me is not so much the huge traumatic event that does occur, of some horrible events which happened in the past that people need to work on. It's more the ongoing efforts, the forgiving my spouse for mm-hmm. his difficulties, forgiving my children, children falling away from the faith or children struggling with substance or behavioral compulsions and just making some really terrible decisions which are harming me. It's difficult to forgive that.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to navigate the reconciliation with them, to avoid enabling and to let go of the anger you have toward them for the harm that they have done toward themselves and toward you.
So what are some of the benefits of forgiveness? For instance, let's say I'm trying to think of a scenario. Think of a scenario where you would need to forgive someone.
The neighbor's dog.
The neighbor. Go ahead.
Who dug under my fence and tore up the flowers? Or, okay, forgiveness.
Who does it free?
It frees the person who is forgiving, and it allows for. It does help the malefactor, the person who's harmed, to enter into a deeper relationship. But when I forgive someone, I do it because it is good for me to forgive on a variety of levels. On a psychological level, it is freeing up the emotional energy that I have tied up in anger. So instead of being locked into staying mad at this one event...
It takes a lot of energy to be mad at somebody.
Yeah, if some people, that's what they have. One of the mm-hmm. things that motivates people to not forgive is that this is what I know. This is the way I relate to these people is by being angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a very shallow way to relate. And letting go of the anger allows you to relate to them at a deeper level, to see them as they are and less distorted through your own anger. So the benefits of forgiveness is to be in better relationship with others, preparing for heaven,
mm-hmm.
and for having more energy and more creative energy, not the harsh, determined, explosive, destructive anger. Energy, but more of bitterness. It is the creative energy of love and compassion.
And really what you do in your profession is you help people learn how to love.
That's
correctly.
I would define therapy as removing the impediments to giving and receiving love authentically.
What about when the shoe is on the other foot, when you are the offender and the other person won't forgive you?
Then you can... Well, we go through the phases. We uncover is there a harm that's being done to me by the lack of forgiveness toward me? In a way, now I can't make that decision for the other person for them to forgive. I'd like them to. But there's a way you can forgive them for their lack of forgiveness toward you. Now, whether or not you should reconcile with them, it may not be safe enough to reconcile with them, how close they're able to be with you. And you can ask for the forgiveness and express contrition, but sometimes other people need to do their own work.
And you have to forgive yourself for whatever it was so that you don't harbor guilt for that forever?
There needs to be acceptance of our own humanness, of our own errors, so we can move forward. I would say self-forgiveness is a slightly different concept, understanding. It's more of... It all, as well as not being locked in the past, it's not being locked in harm to focus on anger which is presenting you from opening to the future. So that's a lot of commonality. That's very important. But I'd say it has some differences in that there's nobody else involved, and this is just you. It is still self-absorbed, however, self-focused rather than relational focused. So yes, we need to accept the fact you have harmed and to let go of that self-harm, self-punitive attitude, so that you can be opened up to be in relationship to others. As long as you're focusing on the mistakes you've made, it it's very difficult for you to do good for the others around you.
Or if you're focusing on the mistakes other people made, you're kind of stuck too.
That same parallel, yes.
For Catholics, that sounds like a good reason maybe for confession every now and then, the sacrament of penance.
Confession's great. It is good for us to recognize our failings and to ask God to forgiveness in a formalized way, to recognize our weaknesses, and that helps us to be more compassionate towards those who have harmed.
So, for instance, if someone were listening and they wanted to, you know, find out more information, how would they know if they should go to counseling for maybe unforgiveness, or what kind of resources outside of counseling they think, well, maybe I need to forgive somebody. What do I do? I mean, could you recommend some books, or, you know, could we give your webpage? You have some resources there.
I don't remember how many things I have listed on my webpage regarding forgiveness. I think there's something, but the Four Faces of Forgiveness, that I borrowed from Robert Enright, a book that he has is Forgiveness is a Choice. I think that's a good book. There's also The Forgiving Life. So Enright, Enright, has written some good books. And to try to forgive, work on your own. I'm willing to help people to forgive, but in my practice, I generally expect people have tried something on their own, it hasn't quite worked, and they want more help.
Mm-hmm.
And I am more than, I'm willing to give that help. But sure, try on your own, try Life of Prayer, try reading one of these books, a self-help book on forgiveness, and to practice to uncover, to decide, and to work to forgive.
And if all else fails, they can contact you at?
Contact me. The office phone number is 317-455-6780.
And what about your website?
The website's a little more complicated because it's the Integritas. So IntegritasPsych.com. So IntegritasPsych.com.
So www.integritaspsych.com. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Eric Goudin. Did I say it right?
Goudin. It's okay.
This has been my Bridges bloopers, but thanks, Bridget. You're going to have to forgive me for this, right?
So I'm not sure it's much harm to uncover there. Okay. Thank you, Bridget. God bless you.
All right. God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.